We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and on these Wednesday nights we've started last week a new series on how to store up treasure in heaven, how to do that. We read of it many times in the New Testament, Christ talking about storing your treasures up in heaven. But saints, it's not enough to hear that statement and say, oh, I believe in that. You need to know now. In this lifetime, right now in your days and your weeks and your months and your years, you're going to have to learn how to store up your treasures in heaven. Because saints, there's no point just knowing a thing theologically. This is so practical. And my message tonight is, and you'll think this is strange, this title, but Storing Up Treasures on Earth. Our series is How to Store Up Treasures in Heaven. And one of the ways we learn how to store up treasures in heaven is what it means is if we were to store up our treasures on earth. Once you know what it means to store up treasures on earth, you know that storing up treasures in heaven is the opposite. But tonight, my message, storing up treasures on earth, a warning or a serious warning from Jesus Christ about the danger, the eternal danger of storing up your treasures on the earth. You need to know the danger of it. And you need to know what a man looks like when he's storing up his treasures on the earth. And another man when he's storing up his treasures in heaven. Reading from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 verse 19. And listen, this is the words of Christ. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and in chapter 7. And we're reading from chapter 6 in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray here together. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you open our eyes and our hearts, oh God. We don't want to waste our years. We don't want to waste our labors. We don't want to waste our money. We don't want to waste our time. Lord God, I do want my time to count on earth. Lord God, I want my months and my weeks and my years to be redeemed. Lord God, I want them to count for all eternity. I don't want to waste, oh God, the breath of my life. Lord God, heaven is real. Hell is real. Nor God, our life on earth is real. And the sands of time are passing. Nor God, our life is like a breath that comes and passes away. Nor God, we are asking of you, put an urgency in our heart tonight. In the name of Jesus, open our eyes to heaven. Open our eyes to eternity. Nor God, give us, O God, such a vision of what it means, O God, to not store up our treasures on earth, but to store them up in heaven above. Show us the difference and the reality of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to preach to you here on storing up treasures on earth as a warning. There is a grave danger that you in your life, you in what you do, and how you think and the decisions that you make, that you will store up those things that are most precious in your life upon the earth, and that they will be lost eternally. We are actually instructed not to store up our treasures upon the earth, but to store them up in heaven above. This is a clear command of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19. Listen to what it says here. But here tonight I want to deal with storing up treasures on earth as a warning, the danger that you in your life will store up your treasures on the earth. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And this is the apostle Paul speaking. And he begins to describe two different kinds of people who you find walking in and out of the church. And you'll find them in church gatherings. And you'll find them under the teaching of the Bible. One of them, and listen to what he says. He said, there are those whose conversation is in heaven. And the word conversation there, it's an old English word, and it means your lifestyle, or your citizenship, or your lifestyle of living as a citizen, or how you live in community together in the church. Now listen to what he's saying. He's talking about a group of people in the church, and he says your citizenship, your entire lifestyle is actually in heaven. How you think, how you act, the decision you make, the whole way you spend your money, everything you do with your possession, you are living your life here in the church as if you were living in heaven. It is a heavenly life being lived on earth. And he's saying in the church there's a certain type of people who actually live their life like they're living in heaven. Heaven has so affected them, has so impacted them, that in their life, in their attitude, in their heart and spirit, they brought a little bit of heaven to earth, saying that's what this church is meant to be. We're here in this church, we're going to create an atmosphere, we're going to create a way of thinking, a way of desiring, a way of speaking to one another, a way in our relationships together, in everything that we do. We want to bring a bit of the lifestyle of heaven to earth. Since we are strangers on this earth, we're only passing through. It's only for a very short time and then we're gone. How is your life going to be experienced? And Paul does speak. He said there's those in the church, their conversation is in heaven. They're born again. Christ is their Savior. They live for Jesus Christ. And their entire lifestyle is a reflection of what heaven is like. What heaven desires. What heaven commands. What heaven is. There's something of that actually in your life. But what Paul does is he contrasts it with another group of people. And who are they? They are actually in the verse before, verse 19. And he talks about those who mind earthly things. So there's two groups of people. Those who actually have their citizenship from heaven. They're actually living aware, living under the rules of heaven. But there's another group who are earthly minded. In other words, they're thinking. The word minded there, it means they exercise their mind. They exercise their feelings and their thoughts. All their thoughts are towards this earth. Their actual thinking is bound by this world. And there's another group who their thinking is bound to heaven. There's a heavenly people and there's an earthly people. And Paul actually says, he said, this earthly people, he says a lot about them. He actually describes them. And Paul says, I weep over them. My heart as a preacher, as an apostle, I see their lifestyle, how they make decisions, how they act, how they do everything in this world. And he says, I literally weep over them. My heart is broken. Listen to what he says about the earthly minded, whose mind is only on this earth. He actually says that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Now they don't think that these people are all in the church. These people say, oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus died on the cross for me. But look at them. Paul actually says these people, they are earthly minded. They're not thinking of heaven. They're not thinking of the future. They're not thinking of another life. All they're thinking is about this life. What I'm doing at work. What I'm going to get here. About my house, my job, my car. What I can wear on my body. Their entire thinking is like this. And he says, you know what? When this earth rules your thinking and your decisions and how you act and how you speak, do you know what? You are an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. The word enemy means you actually hate the cross. You know why? Because the cross will say, that has to die. See, thinking about yourself in this world and how comfortable you are and how you can be better in this world and what people think about you in this world. He says either the cross is going to kill that and destroy that. Or you and your heart are going to become so worldly and you'll be in the church and you'll speak about Jesus and you'll say, I know he's my savior and I believe he loves everybody. But your thinking, your earthly thinking, your worldly thinking proves that you're an enemy of the cross. You actually hate the cross. Oh no, I don't hate the cross. Yes, you do. Because you're thinking how you think about things, how you make a decision. You don't care about heaven. You don't look like a citizen of heaven. You don't act like a citizen of heaven. If I look at you, I go, you're a citizen of this earth. And you know what? Citizens of this earth who are earthly minded, they hate the cross of Jesus Christ. It said, whose end is destruction? Oh no, I'm going to heaven. What do you think you're going to heaven when you're earthly minded? You think you're going to heaven and yet you don't live like a citizen of heaven down here. You're either a liar or you've been deceived. But you cannot share this. Paul says your end is destruction. And notice this, whose God is their belly. God isn't their God. Their belly is their God. Do you know why? What you give to, what you watch over, what you worship is your God. And you know one of the ways we tell what is your God is where you put your money. I assure you, your money reveals an awful lot about your heart. So Paul reveals we've got these two kinds of people in the church. You have citizens of heaven, or those whose lifestyle is according to heaven. And you have others who are earthly minded. Their every decision is an earthly way of thinking. It's got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, and one of the company, as he's preaching, as he's teaching, as he's speaking for God, it says, and one of the company, one who was listening to him, spoke up and said, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide me the inheritance with me. In other words, it was a family dispute, a very practical thing. And this man is listening Christ preach. And you know, all as he's listening this teaching, all he's thinking about is he's in a row, a legal row with his physical brother in his family. That's all he can think about. And he's saying, Master. Do you know what the word master means? It means Christ is Lord. Christ rules over your life. And he says, Master, will you speak to my brother and tell him the inheritance that our father has left us, that he'll divide it equally and give me half of it. You see, he's coming to Christ and he's saying, Master. And you know, a lot of Christians are like that. They hear all of the teaching and they miss it. They don't hear anything about what God is looking from them. Give me your life. Do you know what they're thinking about? How can I use Jesus to get my physical inheritance or some finance on earth? You see, they're thinking is back to front. It's not what I give unto God. It is actually, what can Christ get me on the earth? Can he get me a job? Can he get me a girlfriend? If he doesn't get me a girlfriend, I won't serve him. Then you're on your way to hell. I tell you, you don't make bargains with this God. You're not a citizen of heaven. You're not going to heaven. Christ wouldn't accept you in heaven. You're earthbound. And look how Jesus deals with this man. This man has got his wires crossed. He's got it back to front. He's saying, Master, Jesus, you're my Lord, and I want you to speak to my brother so I'll have more money in the bank. And saints, there's no problem in being rich, and there's no problem in having a bank account or having a car or having anything else. There's no problem with that. There's no sin in that. You know, the Bible actually speaks to rich men and tells them how to handle their riches. So rich men aren't excluded from the kingdom of God. But he's here dealing with this man. And he says, listen, sir, you want me to speak to your brother. You listen to me for a moment. He says, take heed. Be careful. Be aware. Listen to the danger that you're very close to. You see, you're thinking, I'm here to get you some wealth. But I want to turn this around, show you how dangerous your attitude is. It's not innocent. It's a practical thing of life, but it's not innocent. It's very dangerous. You're playing with real fire. He actually says to this man, take heed and beware of covetousness. What's covetousness? It's that in your flesh you're burning. I want more. I want this. I have to do that. They have it. I must get it. I've got to have the latest thing, the latest trainers, the latest coat, the latest car, the latest house, the latest whatever. Since that's a very dangerous attitude. It's not innocent. It's not just okay. It's not sinful in itself. But that attitude, beware of the danger of being covetousness. Do you know how you know a covetous person? They're never satisfied. They get what they want, they're still not satisfied in heart. And Jesus actually warns this man. He says, go speak to my brother. He says, you listen to me. You're in great danger of being covetous. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Or that he has, that isn't your life. You see, in our world, we think of someone, they've got a good job, they've got a good business, they wear a suit, and they drive a nice car. And the person who has those things, they actually even have a way they think about themselves because they have that. And someone else could say, I've got nothing, and they think about them in a certain way. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, that isn't life. If you think actually whether you have things or don't have things, that that's your life, you're very confused. Whether you have everything or you have nothing, whether you're very rich or you're very poor, that's got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. And listen, he said, and he spake a parable. Jesus gave a parable. What's a parable? It's an earthly story with a heavenly spiritual meaning. He takes something natural from our normal lives and he turns that story into something so you can understand a spiritual truth. He says, the ground of a certain man who had lots of fields, planted lots of crops, brought forth plentifully, great harvests. And he thought within himself and his mind and his heart saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where I can store all these fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my old barns and I will build greater barns or larger bones. And there will I put all of my fruits and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at the attitude of this man. What sort of man is he? Is he a citizen of heaven? Or is he bound by this earth? But God said unto him. Notice who he's speaking here. A brother who says, will you speak to my brother about my financial condition? Jesus has given this parable to say, you need to be very careful about what you're seeking for. Or what you're even praying for. He says, but God said unto this man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be or belong to, which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself on the earth, and is not rich towards God, he's like this man. A man who's laying all his treasures up on this earth is like this man. You might say, I'm not rich. You can still be like this man. And you know how you're like this man? If you're preoccupied with this life rather than your future life, you're not making decisions for heaven and eternity. You're making all your decisions for now on this earth. Look at this man. He worked hard for things of this earth, not eternity. All his effort, all of his labor, all of his strength isn't for the future eternal spiritual life. It's for this life. Notice that he was utterly taken up. He gave all his time to this life, not the life to come. He prepared for this life. He said, I have prepared for many years. But he didn't prepare for eternity. He actually then preserved everything he'd done in this life. He built barns for it. He protected it. He said, look, I'm going to guard everything I've done in this lifetime. But he didn't preserve anything for heaven. And look at him. He actually said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice that he was enjoying the things of this life. He was not enjoying spiritual things. His joy come from eating, drinking, dressing, making happy. Some people, they live just to be happy. And yet it's not real joy, and it doesn't last. And it'll curse them in the end. Look at this man. He says, look at all I've done. I've thought about this life. I've prepared for this life. I'm caught up in this life. I've been worked hard in this life. And yet, what does the Lord say? You fool, this very night, your soul is going to be required of you. You are going to step into eternity. You have not worked hard for eternity. You have not prepared for eternity. All the decisions you made in your life were not for eternity. And can I ask you in this meeting, have you prepared for the future? Have you made all your decisions in the light of heaven or only in the light of earth? Have you prepared for this life and yet you've never prepared for the future? Then like this man, God said unto him, thou fool, thy soul is going to be required of you. Do you know early this morning a man who was 73 years old called Stephen Hawking went to his death. He's a man who for decades, almost all of his life, he has mocked God. He said, there is no God. There is no afterlife. There's no heaven. The Bible isn't true. He mocked all these things. He scorned all these things. I assure you, that man had such a crisis like this rich man. He was there saying, I'm prepared for this life. I've used my intelligence. I have done everything in this life. I've lived long. I've written books. I've done everything you can imagine. I even starred in movies. They got him in there in movies. What a hero. And everybody now is singing his praise. But what a shock that man has when he wakes up in hell, an eternal hell, a place of darkness, of gnashing of teeth. I assure you, Mr. Hawking does not believe the same as he did when he went to sleep last night. There is a radical change in that man, but it's too late. He lived all his life for this earth, and he never prepared for eternity. Let's go to this text in Matthew 6. And let me give you 4 points here. A clear command. A clear heart. A clear vision. And a clear master. 4 things I want to give you. First of all, in Matthew 6 and verse 19. A clear command from Jesus concerning this. What does he say? Lay not up treasures upon the earth for yourself. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. This is a clear command from Jesus Christ. He actually commands you. He gives a very clear, you can't confuse this. He's saying, do not lay up treasures. Don't amass them. Don't gather them. Don't spend your entire life gathering up treasures upon this earth. Don't put all your effort, all your energy, all your thinking into only gathering things for this lifetime. You're going to be a fool if you do. If all you do is store up treasures on the earth, you're such a fool. And he says, do not do it. It's a clear command. And it's a very simple command. Notice with me that it says in Proverbs 13, and this is very important for you to see, is it wrong to save money? No. Is it wrong to prepare for the next 5 years financially? No. It's absolutely not. Is it wrong to think of your children or your grandchildren and begin to help them and prepare for them? No, not according to the Bible. It says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, to his grandchildren. In other words, money or preparation in this life is not sinful. Thinking of your future is not sinful. Taking provision for the year ahead is not sinful. Or what about 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 8? And Paul writes and he says, if any provide not for his own or his family. Do you know what provide means? To do it in advance. To look out beforehand. To look down over the next year, next few years, and begin to plan now. Now listen to what he says. If any provide not for his own or his own family, and especially those of his own house. In other words, he's talking about your extended family. Aunties, relatives, grandparents. They may not be in your home, but they're part of your family. If a man, a Christian, does not provide or think about his entire family, it says he hath denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel or an atheist. This Christian man, if he doesn't think about his own family, if he doesn't provide for his own family, he's worse than the worst atheist that has ever walked our world. So he's actually saying here, a Christian man does prepare. He does think of his grandchildren. And he does think of his own family. And he thinks in advance, saying, what am I going to do for them? Or how am I going to provide? Now Christ gives a command, do not store up on earth for yourselves. You know what he's saying? In a selfish manner. In a selfish way. In a way that excludes God. It's not wrong to think of this life. It's not sinful. But what is sinful is when God isn't in your decisions. God is not in your plans. It's not a spiritual way of thinking. Then that is very dangerous. You see, it's a clear command. Do not store up upon the earth. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of obeying Christ. He says, where moth does eat, where things get corrupted, where thieves break in. Saints, do you have all of your treasures in a place that they can be stolen or they can rot? Think about the things that are most precious in your life. What about the car that's going to rust? What about the house that's going to fall down? What about your family members who are going to die one day? Well, what about the wealth in your bank? What about your job? What about your health? Your health is going to go. You're going to watch grey hairs appear one of these days if you don't already have them. You're going to realize after you get to 40, your muscles and joints don't operate like they did at 20 years old. If you're 20 or in your 20s, enjoy your strength. Because when you get to my age, you have to start relying on your wisdom and your hoary white head. So I'm stuck in between here. I've lost my strength and I haven't got my white hair yet. And I'm trying to grasp both at the same time. I'm trying to grab the last of my strength and I'm reaching out for one or two white hairs. Candace keeps saying, I saw some white hairs. I said, no, you didn't. Not was the sun just bleached them white. But I assure you, she can't find them the second time when she looks for them. But here in the Bible, Jesus commands, don't just store up on earth. If all you're thinking about is this lifetime, if you're not preparing for eternity, your job, your work, your relationship, your marriage, your children, if it's all about this lifetime. See, with these kids, if you never consider that they're going to have an eternal life, where are they going to be in eternity? Are they going to believe in Jesus? Then you're raising them in an an earthly way. You're not thinking about eternity. You're going to be responsible for either sending those kids to heaven or sending them to hell. What a great responsibility. That's the first thing. A clear command. Christ commands you, don't store all your riches up on earth. If you do, you're a fool. You know why? You're going to lose it all. There's going to be no future reward. A day is coming when you're going to realize that all the effort you put into in a lifetime, it was for nothing. It's all going to perish and you're a fool. You've wasted your entire lifetime. But secondly, a clear heart in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you consider your riches, your money, the things that are important in life, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Can I ask you, are all your treasures in heaven or are they here on the earth? All the things that you're working to create and to build up and to bring about, where are they? Are they actually in heaven or is it in the earth? That reveals everything about you. That shows me who you are and what you are. Anyone could call themselves a Christian, but are you actually living and laboring for heaven? Are you living and laboring for the earth? It's going to be one or the other. It cannot be both. Notice it says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. Your treasure reveals where your heart is. Is it on this earth or is it in heaven? Because where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. This is what Christ is actually revealing here. He's actually revealing that your heart is dictated by what you count precious. Some people, their work life, or their house, or their possessions, or their riches. That's where your heart is. You know what? You will compromise everything this Bible says as long as you have things in this life. You're carnal. You're worldly. You're not thinking like Christ said that we are actually to think. And he says, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. What is the heart? What is the heart? What's the definition of a heart? Your heart is your mind, all your thoughts. Your heart is all your emotions. Your heart is your will, where you make your decisions. How do you make decisions about work or about relationships? How do you make your decisions? Are you a citizen of heaven or just a citizen of earth? Are you going to wake up one day as a fool? Are you going to wake up one day with an eternal reward that will never come to an end? Which is it going to be? You see, he says, where your treasure is. Are you storing up in heaven or earth? That's where your heart is. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, all your decisions are about this earth. There's a clear line drawn here. What kind of treasure are you storing up? Natural? What, clothes? Sure, they're going to rot. Possessions? They're going to fall down. You're going to lose. You came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave this world nothing. You come in naked. You're going to go out naked. And that's going to be the end of all of us, apart from a spiritual work. What do you think treasure is? Do you think treasure is money? That's real treasure. That's real prosperity. That's what it really means to be rich. Let me describe what money is like. You see, money will buy you a bed, but it cannot buy you sleep. It can buy you books, but it cannot buy you brains or knowledge. It can buy you knowledge, but not intelligence. It can buy you a clock, but it cannot purchase you time. You can buy food with money, but you cannot purchase an appetite. You can buy nice clothes, but you can't buy beauty. You can buy a house, but you can't buy a home. Lots of people have nice homes, but they have nice houses, but they do not have a nice home. You can buy medicine, but not health. You can buy a position, but not respect. You can buy companions, but you cannot buy real friends. You can buy religion, but not salvation. You can buy a crucifix, but not a savior who washes you from your sin. You can buy a passport. When in this nation, you can buy a passport, an Irish passport, to every nation or most nations in the world. But it cannot buy you a passport to heaven. You, with good money, you can buy a good life. But you cannot purchase eternal life. You see, what is your treasure? Is it money? It's all going to perish. Is it a house? It's going to perish. Well, what is it you consider your treasure that you've worked your entire life for so far? What is your treasure? And can it be stolen? And can it corrupt? And can it be lost? Or do you have a treasure that no thief can touch and no moth can eat into? Do you actually have a treasure that you're storing up week by week and year by year? And do you know what? It's getting greater and it's becoming more precious and no, all hell cannot steal it because it is in heaven. What is your treasure? Thirdly, a single vision. Verse 22. And Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. What's he saying here? The light of the body is the eye. The word light there is different than the word light used later in the same verse. The first word for light is lamp, or the source of light. So he says the source of light in your entire body is your eye. It's the eye gate. Your eye is the source of light. It brings in light into your entire body. Yeah. And if that eye is open, there is light. You know, if you've light coming in that eye, you know where to walk. You know where to put your hands. Your entire body operates around having light coming in through the eye. The eye is the lamp of the entire body. It sends light. It sends knowledge and understanding to the entire body. And Jesus actually says, if your eye is single, your entire body is filled with light. He said, he's talking about heaven and earth here, about eternity and time, about heavenly riches and earthly riches. And he's saying, if your eye is single, if it is focused on heaven, if it is focused on eternity, your entire body is going to be filled with light. In other words, where you're looking is going to affect everything in your entire life. But then he goes further and he says, but if thine eye be evil, or if it's sick, or if it's not functioning right, or if you're looking in every direction, you look at the girls, you look at this, you look at that, you look at what they are doing, you look at things going on in the church. You look at the mega churches and you look at all the wealth of bishops and popes and priests and all the rest. Where is your eye? Is it actually on Christ at the right hand of the Father? Or is it on the things of this life? Sure, if your eye's on the things of this life, you'll be worried sick. Or else you'll be deceived because you go, I want what they have. Sure, it's all perishing. Where is your eye? Jesus said you must have a single eye. Your eye must be fixed on eternity. Then it's going to affect every area of your life. It'll affect every decision. It'll affect every relationship. It'll affect all of your efforts and what you're working for. Why do you work? You guys who are working, you've got a 9-to-5 job or whatever the hours are. Why are you working? Is it a means to an end? Is it to provide food? Is it for your 2 holidays? What is it for? What is the actual purpose? Because I tell you, it can become very vain. All those years would be wasted. You can actually work in a physical job that becomes very spiritual, and it's no longer just for yourself down here in this earth to meet some needs. You're actually laboring in a whole different way of thinking. You know why? Your eyes are in heaven. You know, I was 5 years in the army. That entire 5 years, I assure you, I wasn't working for the government. I was working for King Jesus. That's who I was. I'm on an army camp, 1,500 guys. Every Saturday night, I tell you, just about 1,450 of them all went drinking, running after the girls, doing whatever you can imagine. I assure you, they were focused on that. I'm not just working for the army. I'm not getting paid by some general. I'm not working for the government. I assure you, Jesus has me there. I'm serving as a soldier of the King of Glory. That's what I was doing. It changes your whole thinking. I done my job. I got my pay. I done everything I was told. But I've got a higher calling. It's not that job. I'm there in the will of God. I'm in that workplace in the will of God. And I'll do my job faithfully. But there's a higher calling. You see, I'm working for eternity. I'm storing riches up. You get your pay packet at the end of the month. Well, every time my pay packet comes through, I'm just laboring for eternity. Every decision, everything that I do in that job, it is for eternity. But there's a fourth thing here, and a last thing I want to finish with. Verse 24, and it's a clear master. We've had a clear command, and a clear heart, and a clear vision. But a clear master. Why am I being clear about this? We need to get some things clear. Heaven is not earth. A Christian who calls himself a Christian, who's bound by this earth, and a Christian who's a citizen of heaven is two radically different people. And I want to tell you, those Christians who are earthbound, always thinking about this earth, self, flesh, anger, jealousy, bitterness, hatred, they're not going to heaven. They're earthly. They're of this earth. There's no citizenship of heaven with them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said the greatest mark of a real Christian, he loves God and he loves his brothers and he loves those around them and he prays for his enemies. This is a Christian life. Man, that's to a higher standard. This is the only standard. I was on the phone the other day to a pastor in another country and they're saying, my people who have been there 20 years in that church, and they're saying, the standard is too high in this church. And this is what the pastors tell me, and I know the church well. And I said, can I tell you something, pastor? Your church isn't too spiritual. The problem is it's not heavenly enough. It doesn't set the standard high enough. You're barely normal. You're barely within the mark. And they're telling you, we need to bring the standard down. Oh no, we do not. I assure you, that's a radically wrong way of thinking. But this last point, who is your master? Let's have a clear master. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon there is the word for possessions and your wealth and what you own and what you count important. All that you have in this life, that's mammon. And this is Jesus saying, here's two gods, mammon. And it tests your heart, it reveals everything about you. Why you work, when you work. Do you break the law? Do you think it's okay to break the law? It reveals who your God is. Either you'll serve mammon or you'll serve God, but you can't serve both. You're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to be faithful to one and unfaithful to the other. But you can't serve both of them. Who is your God? I'll tell you who your God is. It's how you make decisions. It reveals whether you're worshipping mammon or whether you're worshipping God. And I'm talking about all people who fill churches. This is a real thing. He says, you'll either serve mammon or serve God. The word serve there is doulio. It means to be a slave, a prisoner of it. Are you a prisoner of work? Are you a prisoner of some dream? Are you a prisoner of some relationship? Are you a prisoner of saying, if only I can have this in this life? Beware of covetousness. If I have this and I have that, and if they change and if that person changes, see, it's never you. And if all of these things change, and if I can only have this, I'll be so happy. No, you won't. You are a slave to mammon. You're a slave thinking, if I have this and I have that, I'll be fine. If I have enough money every month, I'll be fine. No, you're actually a slave. Who is your master? The word master means Lord. Who rules you? Who actually dictates what decision you make? If you're after a girl or a guy, and you go, is she in love with Jesus? Or is she like that world? Well, she's beautiful. Right, so that's how you make your decisions. Well, she's curvy. That's how you make your decision. Look at this guy, he's a 6-foot hunk. Look at him. That's how you make your decision. You actually think that there's something in that. That you can make the right decision. Look him with your eye. You'll marry a demon from hell. And hell will be in that home. And hell will pursue you. Why? Because you made a decision. Who was your master? Mammon. I want the hunk. Or he may not have been a hunk, but he was a hunk in your eyes. You know, you see some people that fall in love and you go, what does he see in her and what does she see in him? There's some strange relationships I've seen over the years. But you know the amazing thing? I go, she loves him and he loves her. And I go, man, strange things happen. But that's love dominates. But you know often, who are you a slave of? You're a slave of a dream and you married a demon. That's what you ended up doing. What a dangerous thing. Jesus says, who is your master going to be? What affects your entire life? Because all these things reveal, are you a citizen of heaven? Are you living your life like you're a citizen of heaven? Are you living your life by this earth? Give me, I want to get. Do you manipulate people and situations? Do you seek after the things of this world? Is this your life? Are you going to spend your entire life working to wake up one morning and be a fool? I hope not, saints. I hope in this series on how to store up all your treasures in heaven. And since we do live a normal life, I'm a Christian. I've got a wife. I've got a puppy dog. Many of you have seen Shiloh on Facebook. I love that little puppy. I tell you, I play with her. She brings a bit of joy and delight to my heart. There's nothing carnal or worldly about that. God made those things. He's put us in a normal life to work and to live, to eat and to drink. And the Bible says do all of these things, whether you drink. It's not wrong to drink, unless it's alcohol. It's not wrong to drink and enjoy a drink, as long as it's not alcohol, and they can prove that biblically. It's not wrong to eat as long as you're not a glutton, as long as you're not a slave. He said, do all these things to my glory. If you eat, do it to the glory of God. If you eat, if you drink, do it to the glory of God. If you can't do it to the glory of God, it's sin. Work to the glory of God. Married to the glory of God. Have children to the glory of God. Do all of these things. Store up in the bank. Nothing wrong with having a bank account or storing up. He just says don't do it for yourself. Do it for the kingdom of God. For the furtherance. Yes, think about grandchildren. Yes, think about your own future. But I tell you, if that's selfish and with arrogance and it's all about you and it's me, 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 you're actually in sin, and it's going to perish. One great hero of the faith is George Mueller. He was a wild man when he got born again. At the age of, in his 20s, I believe 25. He was a curser, a womanizer, dreadful womanizer. He hit the drink when his mother was on her deathbed. He went into the room, she's dying, given hours and days left. He went in and he stole money from under her bed so he could go out and get drunk. And he's in Germany, and he was actually using that money. He was running the streets with a young Irish girl, believe it or not. And he got the money actually from under his mother's bed. Look at him. He was 25 years old before he met Christ. But this is how he lived his life. He was way over his head in debt. And he kept going to his dad, Dad, give me more money. He didn't care about his dying mother. He didn't care about the broken heart of his dad. He didn't care about his relationships or his drunkenness. His life was destroyed. But at 25 years old, he walked into a small room in someone's house, and they're having a prayer meeting and Bible study. And as a few handful of believers opened the Bible and knelt at their chairs and began to pray, he was born again. He'd never seen a man pray like that. It so changed his entire life. Do you know, he moved to England, become a preacher. And he lived for the next 61 years doing a remarkable work. In 61 years, up until he was 92, he looked after 10,000 orphans. In England in those days, there were no orphanages. You had to pay a fortune to be put in an orphanage. All the little orphans ran around the streets. 3 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. There was no compassion, no social security. There was none of this there. They're all over the cities of England. But here comes a man, a born-again Christian, who was so wicked and depraved, living for himself. But God changed his heart, and he lived 61 years looking after orphans, 10,000 of them. He looked after, he housed them, he clothed them, he educated them. He also, right across the nation, brought 120,000 children into school education. He pastored a church for 66 years. And at the age of 70, remember he died at 92, at the age of 70, he began to travel the world and went in round the world in the next 17 years to 42 different nations. And you know what? In 66 years, he never took a penny, a wage. He didn't take any money in the ministry. Do you know, looking after those 10,000 orphans, he never made one need known, never sent out a letter, never asked anybody, never even told his staff about what they needed. He would actually have a bill. And since, if you read his life, it is remarkable. A man who was once living for himself, for mammon, for the worst of sin in this world, so met Christ that he began to live for eternity, for the next years until he was 92. And you know what he done? He said, I'm going to look after these orphans to prove to every Christian who's ever going to live that if you trust God, you'll never have a need that he doesn't meet. That it's through prayer and through faith, God will provide all of your financial needs. You know, they had at times 2,000 orphans. There's no food in the houses. And not one of those 2,000 orphans knew about it. They didn't have a clue. They went to bed at night thinking everything's okay. They woke up in the morning preparing, saying, 30 minutes we're going to have breakfast. But we're having prayer first. And you know the man of God, he's got 2,000 kids to feed. There's no food. And he's not worried. And all he's doing is praying. He told his wife and he didn't tell all the staff. And they just gathered and he says, let's just thank our Heavenly Father for all of his provision. And as he prayed, the doorbell would go. And here would come a baker or some other person with a big truck load of food. And they said, I baked too much today. Or God burdened my heart to drive up here. And since for 66 years, he actually recorded in his little diary, he was very careful with the diary, 50,000 exact prayers that God answered. One of them, when he was traveling the world, he was in a certain harbour, forget where it was now, and the captain, the fog came down, and the captain says, I'm seasoned, I've spent 50 years sailing these seas. We're not going anywhere for the next 3 days. That's us. Mr. Mueller said, I've been traveling for over 50 years. I've never missed an appointment once in all those years. And he said, Captain, I'm not going to miss this appointment. I must be there. And he said, Captain, are you a man of prayer? Do you believe in God? And the captain got a bit embarrassed, said, well, yeah, I believe in God. He says, well, are you a man of prayer? No, I'm not a man of prayer. He said, let's kneel down here. And the embarrassed captain pulled him to his knees. He said, let's pray. And he prayed a childlike prayer, saying, Heavenly Father, you know I've got that appointment. I must be there and show this captain that you answer prayer. I thank you this mist is going to lift and we'll get there right on time. Stood up, happy as Larry, happy as anything, saying, let's go up, let's get going. The captain thought he was crazy. They got to the top, onto the top of the ship. It's already starting to clear. He made that appointment. That book is carefully recorded of his testimony. Every prayer, every need. And you know what? Mr. Mueller spent all those years storing up in heaven. It wasn't money. And it wasn't even for the orphans. He was doing this as a spiritual treasure in heaven. Please stand with me.